Howdy.
Hola.
¿Cómo están?
Yeah, you know Corey's ass will be late after he done called me 20 times.
He's called me on FaceTime and was like,
Yeah.
"Hey man, transfer your record, man, so just be prepared." So I was like, "All right, cool. So I'll just wait here with my phone. I'll
Yeah.
sync up my headset too so my audio's better."
Yeah, I got my earbuds in and everything.
There you go.
Now his ass ain't showed up. He's probably off listening to them goddamn conspiracy theory podcasts and shit. He tries to hit me with that crazy shit every once in a while.
Yeah, or he's up in the hills taking samples to see how the cannabis plants can grow up in the Kentucky mountains.
Yeah. He's trying to tell me the other day about this cornbread mafia had created Long John Silver's and tried to say Long John Silver's was created in Kentucky. That's English fish and chips. That wasn't made no damn Kentucky.
Yeah, Long John Silver's is a pirate, bro. They don't have any pirates in
They
Kentucky.
ain't got no fucking water in Kentucky, and he's going on with that bullshit trying to convince me.
Yeah, man. Dude, just because they make, just because they used to make good chicken doesn't
Yeah.
mean that they own everything.
Mm-mm.
I won't hate on KFC all that hard, dude. KFC does have some good shit every once in a while.
Listen, he's on some bullshit.
Sorry,
Straight on some
late.
bullshit.
Sorry, I'm late. I was trying to find my Crocs.
Oh, okay. I thought you were wandering the hills, bro, looking for soil samples to send to the council, the next council meeting, to talk to him about the cannabis growth.
That's a good, that's what I was gonna do tomorrow, but not like as a special trip, just because I'll already be up there singing, ginseng.
Listen, Corey, whatever you do, you don't listen to the first couple of minutes of this when we were in here by ourselves.
Why? Y'all talk good about me?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I was telling Callie about how you was off on some crazy ass conspiracy theory shit, probably listening to podcasts and stuff, trying to tell me that Long John Silver's was started in fucking Kentucky.
Long John Silver's was started in Kentucky.
No, Callie said that Long John Silver's a fucking pirate, and I said there ain't even no water in Kentucky. You see how fucked up
There
Corey is?
is a pirate called Long John Silver's, but I'm telling you right now that Long John Silver's, the fast food restaurant, bottom of the tier, bottom of the barrel fish joint, does indeed have its origins from Lexington, Kentucky.
No, they ain't. That's some bullshit. I was
Did
telling you
you
about that
not Google
cornbread
it?
mafia shit you was trying to tell us. Corey, y'all ain't got no oceans in Kentucky.
It don't matter. We catch it from the Big Sandy.
Corey, that saltwater fish and chips from England, that shit was started over there in Europe
Well,
land
all right. Started.
on the Britland Island.
Okay, so we're gonna look at Long John Silver's. Okay, so hold on.
The British were over here too, Trent.
No.
We came from there, some of
No,
us.
you're telling a damn lie.
You don't think we came from Europe?
I was born in Texas, homie.
Oh my God.
Good Lord, it was started in Lexington, Kentucky in 1969.
Listen, thank you so much, Callie.
Its current headquarters is in Louisville, Kentucky.
Yep.
Listen, Corey has got on there and hacked Google and changed that shit around.
Damn it. You know. Don't be telling the task force's secrets. The 70S task force is strong, and we have hotwired it to where we have fooled you all into believing Long John Silver's is from Kentucky.
Yeah, because everybody that's got any damn sense knows there ain't no ocean in Kentucky.
There's the Big Sandy River, Trent.
You s rivers
Okay.
fresh water.
There's they stock it.
So
Like a
do
Pele.
what, Callie?
Apparently, Long John Silver's and A&W were owned by the same company.
Hey, Callie, put your phone on Do Not Disturb because you cut out whenever you get a notification.
Okay.
They
Yeah, that's
sold
what I have
out,
to do too.
Callie. They sold out. They had to after the cornbread mafia went down. The cornbread mafia was using Long John Silver's to launder the money.
Cornbread Mafia.
Seriously.
No, don't listen to his bullshit, Callie. He's
Whoa.
been on this shit and on this shit trying to tell me that saltwater fish has caught in a freshwater river.
Trent, you're caught up on that, but we're just ignoring the fact that fucking tons of marijuana money was filtered through fucking Long John Silver's.
Corey, okay, listen. there are conspiracies that I can see where people could have doubts, like the moon landing. I could see because of the atmosphere of the world at the time, America wanted to be first there, had to prove they were better than the Russians and all. I could see how people could think that the American government could have faked that. I personally don't think they did, but I could see that train of thought. The shit you go on with, I don't understand. Like, what the fuck? What the hell in the tap water there makes you believe this kind of shit?
You know, there are some conspiracies, man. Look, like, all growing up, all through school, they try to tell me that my Aunt Juanita, that she could slurp a damn whole jar of Hot Mama sausages down in less than 2 minutes. And I'm going to tell y'all right now that there ain't no way she could even afford them. So she ain't slurping down none of them damn Hot Mamas. So that they damn lying. But this right here, sure as I'm sitting here, as sure as the holler is dirty. Wait, fuck.
The holler is dirty?
Listen, as sure as Dwight Yoakam is the best country music singer to ever exist, I'm telling you, Cornbread Mafia was a thing, and they laundered their money through Long John Silver's.
All right. Now, if you, Corey, I'm going to ask you a question here to show everybody just how full of shit you are.
Let me hit this, Dad.
Oh, my God.
Go ahead.
Listen, you tag Dwight Yoakam almost every day on Twitter. And what is your claim to fame about Dwight Yoakam?
My grandma and his grandma, my daddy's side, are childhood best friends. And my grandma has an autographed photo and book and all kinds of shit from Dwight Yoakam in her living room. And it's not a lie. It's just,
you love Dwight Yoakam. He's your favorite country music singer, right? You're proud as fuck that he is damn near family with you, right? He's a holler cousin.
I already know what you're about to do. Go ahead.
Go ahead and name three songs that man sings without Google.
You motherfucker. But we went over this. I don't know three songs in general. I can't tell you. I think I know three songs in my entire life. Honestly, What's Poppin' by another Kentucky native, Jack Harlow. Jack Harlow, What's Poppin'? Brand New Whip just hopped in.
I think what? I'm from California, bro, and I know about guitars, Cadillacs, and A Thousand Miles From Nowhere.
Good shit. And those are all good. Yeah, and I know all of those.
Fast As You is another one, too. A really good fucking song.
Look, I ain't got to lie. Y'all can check my Spotify. That's all. It's up in my shiz, Dwight Yoakam. But look, I'm just going to tell y'all, I don't know three songs of any rapper I listen to or any artist in general. Like, hold on. I think I know Without Me by Eminem. All right, I know that one.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck.
Hey, by Halsey.
I'm fucking drawing a blank. All right, I know at least one song.
All right, back to my point. Is you're sitting here trying to convince me that there's a thing called the Cornbread Mafia and you can't even name three songs that Dwight Yoakam sings.
I don't understand what the fuck that has to do with the Cornbread Mafia. But look, I'm gonna tell y'all, I came equipped now, fellas.
What if the Cornbread Mafia, what if they call you tomorrow, bro, and they're like, hey, you want to be a member? Name three Dwight Yoakam.
Listen, I gotta tell y'all something right now. Look, this is what I need y'all to know. Ahead. Let me read this, and then we'll draw statements.
Okay.
Since, Your Honor, let me talk. I object. All right. Since 1775, and we weren't even alive back then. Since 1775, Kentucky has grown the finest hemp in America, even when it wasn't legal. Beginning in June 1989, newspaper headlines blaring the phrase Cornbread Mafia ran from coast to coast and around the globe, all to describe a network of 70 outlaw Kentucky farmers busted on a network of 30 farms stretching across 10 Midwestern states with what law enforcement claimed was 200 tons of marijuana. These Kentucky men, mostly from Marion County, stunned federal drug enforcement officials who never dreamed that a domestic marijuana syndicate could grow to such a size. Before Cornbread, the DEA assumed that the vast majority of American pot was smuggled in from Latin America or Asia. Little did they know the most ideal conditions for growing cannabis was the Kentucky bluegrass region, starting with Marion County. how the cornbread mafia began. Not too much more here, fellas. Let's stay, bear with me. Grab you up a piece of tinfoil or something. It's going to be a rough one. Many members of the cornbread mafia was Vietnam veterans. They learned that Kentucky was the best place to grow cannabis because it sits on the 37th parallel of the on the same latitude line that runs through the Hindu Kush Mountains, where indica cannabis strains originated. This means that hemp plants feel right at home in Kentucky. They came from the Vietnam and began planting outdoor marijuana crops. With a growing number of marijuana plants, they created one of the largest illegal cannabis operations in modern times. In 2005, co-founder James Hidgen, a native of Marion County, Kentucky, began his project to write the true story of the cornbread mafia. He left New York and returned home to, ass like me, to Kentucky to do the work. In the course of his reporting, he became the first journalist subpoenaed by the Obama administration because of his reporting. Hidgen's book, The Cornbread Mafia, Homegrown Syndicate's Code of Silence and the Biggest Marijuana Bust in American History, was published in hardcover in 2012 and paperback in 2013 and released his second edition in 2019. Hidgen's reporting on the Cornbread Mafia was featured in High Times in the summer of 2012. Since the passage of 2018 Farm Bill, hemp has been legalized at the federal level, allowing Kentucky to regain its title as the home of the finest hemp on earth. Cornbread hemp embraces all 250 years of Kentucky cannabis history as the best place to grow hemp in the United States. Grown exclusively by Kentucky.
I'm just done with it. I'm done with people trying to take my freedom because I smoke weed.
Trent, they're trying to stop us. They don't want us knowing about the cornbread mafia.
They shut your ass down right there because all it showed was you and Callie connected on my screen.
Well, how much did you hear?
I heard enough bullshit that.
Oh, hell. How much? What part did you get to on this?
He's like whatever. Chapter 7, Article 16. And he starts reading more.
This is goddamn the Bible of Kentucky, and we will get to your conspiracy theory next.
That's it, bro. We're making the queso mafia. That's what we're making.
Mm-hmm. That's illegal. Listen.
Queso's delicious.
Corey, you said the 37th parallel, which runs through the
Hindu Kush Mountains, where indica originated.
Okay. What is a parallel, Corey?
It's that damn line on the map, that line, like the, you know, with the equators and the fucking,
All right. Does it run north or south or east or west? North
it
and south or east and west?
East and west.
Very good. What's the one that runs north and south called?
Longitude.
Okay. But you can't name three Dwight Yoakam songs.
Trent.
You're an embarrassment to the holler, Corey.
Trent.
An embarrassment to the holler.
No, I can't name three songs in general.
Listen, I'm taking the radio out of your damn S10. You don't need it.
Bubby Cat. That's the problem. I never got to learn none of these songs. The damn radio, the damn fuse went out, so we didn't have no damn picture of the song we were on, none of that. You just got to let it roll. You know what I'm saying? Some of these people know what I'm talking about. When you got the A-track player in your motherfucking S10, and then you have to put that little A-track in it, and it's got the wire that comes down to a CD player. All right? You know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying. You got the conversion kit, Bubby.
You want them flat earthers, ain't you?
Listen, all I'm going to say is when I go outside in the holler, everything looks round, so I don't believe in flat earth.
We lost Callie.
I don't even see no flat earth, honestly. You go outside, you look every angle, there's just mountain. So I don't believe flat earth. I don't know how flat earthers believe that shit.
Flat earthers, you realize that there is more than one group of flat earthers, right? They don't all believe the same thing.
I did not know.
Yeah. Flat earthers, one theory is that they believe the earth is flat, and like the Arctic, the polar caps and shit like that, they think that those are the edges of this spaceship that we're on, the earth that is flat and is like a spaceship, and there's a dome over us, and that what we think is gravity is actually inertia from the earth being propelled across the galaxy by dark matter. And that, you know, every once in a while how you get that sensation of like your stomach coming up like you're on a roller coaster. They said that's when the dark matter engine that's propelling Earth across the galaxy misfired.
Wait a second. They think we're fucking dependent on a damn Call of Duty camouflage?
Mm-hmm.
I was going to lead with that. Damn it, Corey beat me to it.
I'm sorry. One holler boy to another. I do apologize, kind sir.
Yes, Callie's definitely a holler boy.
Bro, Callie could build a holler in his courtyard.
Callie's got a bougie-ass courtyard.
Bro, I just want to see if he'd let me park a trailer in there, because I could definitely get a single wide. If I angle it correctly...
I don't know.
Blow out like the wall, bro. Just,
I don't know about a single wide, but we could definitely get a nice camper up in there with some slide outs.
We should. You should let me build a single wide into the side of your pool house. So you're just seamless from trailer to pool house.
So you get up in the morning and just adds like a little bedroom.
Bro,
apartment.
Bro, he calls that a pool house, and buddy, it's nicer in my fucking actual house.
Bro, all right, so it was actually called something bougier when we moved in, bro.
No.
It was actually built as a library. That's what it was initially built.
Callie's house has a fucking standalone library.
Yeah, bro. Like, well, the lady we bought the house from was, well, she died, so we bought it from the bank. It was probate, but she was like,
did she die in the house?
No. No, that would have freaked me out. But fucking nah, she was like a superintendent of schools or some shit for the county. So, yeah, she was pretty bougie, man.
How she have that kind of money being a superintendent? Everybody knows education doesn't pay shit. She was getting kickbacks for something.
The county job, like...
Probably smuggling marijuana for the cornbread mafia.
Well, she was a widow, too, dude. So, I think she also had, like, husband money and all types of shit, too. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, so, hey, fuck, I think I've told you, like, all the stories in my house, bro. Like, her son, the house actually, bro, there's a whole other house that's, like, 2,000 square feet, bro, that was actually connected, that was part of this house's property. And it was, like, a guest home, dude, and they built a fence between it, and her son lived in that house next door. And then they... guess designated it as his own property, and then when he died, they sold it to like a completely separate couple as a separate house, dude. But yeah, no, he was pretty wild, dude. He had like this like dissociative personality disorder.
Is that the dude that had the magic turtle?
Yeah, he had the magic turtle in the backyard, bro, and he was getting advice from it, and he had statues of like Mao and Stalin and shit in his house.
Sounds like Corey when he's high. He's getting advice from inanimate objects.
Yeah, bro, he was a very weird guy, bro.
I don't, you see, they might look inanimate, but you know, in another dimension, there could be somebody standing right there, Trent.
I'm focused on the dimension I'm in, Corey.
Well, I can't do all that. I'm all over the place, Bubby Cam. I'm so goddamn nosy. I'm wondering what the fuck that motherfucker's doing over there. Like the version of me in that other dimension. I want to know what he's dealing with. Maybe we could get together, have a swap meet, maybe talk out these issues together and come to a concluded.
No, I'm too fucking egotistical. All the other me's in alternate dimensions and universes and shit, they're all looking at me saying what the fuck I'm doing.
Yeah, dude. I mean, maybe I'll confer with the magic turtle tonight, dude, and I'll find out for you, Corey.
I'm just trying to find I'm just trying to find the version of me with the biggest trailer and the largest penis. That's all I want.
Dude, I'm the best version of me.
That shit is definitely haunted, bro. In my back, it's definitely fucking haunted, bro.
What, your backyard?
No, the fucking magic turtle statue in the backyard, dude. It's like a little fire pit area. Bro.
How can we get Corey over there? Because I want to get him high and have him go over there and experience some ghost type activity. That's what we should do, Corey. When we create content, that's what we should do. Because you about half scared everything. The three of us should go out on ghost adventures and record it.
I've been a ghost hunter before.
Dude, I was really sussed out about shit like that until I watched Supernatural, and now I'm like, come on, bro, iron and salt, let's fucking do this. You know, every time I hear about
Corey say he's been a ghost hunter before. He's always on some fucking straight bullshit, dude.
Bro, I did. Me and my friend Jonathan.
An EMF out of his old Walkman.
Now, we didn't have all that. It was realistically just a bunch of idiots fucking walking the flood wall at 3 a.m. But this kind of sums it up for you.
Those are the best fucking times, bro.
Bro, we went to the graveyard once, and then, like, someone faked that we were, like, something was happening. But then years later told me that they, like, were just fucking with me. So that kind of sucked.
We should really go and stay at like one of these haunted hotels or something like that and record it.
I had a whole trip planned to go to Colorado to that fucking The Shining Hotel.
Yeah.
And fucking stay in the haunted room, and then I was gonna do a bunch of edibles and fucking stay there. But honestly though, I'm always high. I don't remember the last time I've not been high. It would be a weird feeling. I don't really let it get that low.
Yeah, it's don't get high, so.
It's like gas. When's the last time you ran out of gas type thing? You know what I mean? Like, you just kind of fill it up before you get to that point.
Yeah, fun fact, bro, like, graveyards creep me the fuck out, bro. Like, I don't like being at them.
Yeah,
like,
we
I mean, even for funerals and shit. Like, I just don't like being, they make me feel weird, bro.
Me and Ben and Zach have a barbecue crawl. We want to go around Texas and hit all the best barbecue places, you know, the historical barbecue places. We should change that. We should all, like, seriously, buy a bunch of GoPros, go out to all these fucking haunted places and hang out and record the content. Because I want to know who's going to scream first, because I suspect that that person or the two people that are going to get the scaredest are in this podcast.
Y'all are going to get that scared?
No, you and Callie.
Bro, I thought you two, man.
I probably would, bro. Hey, dude, like we got a couple spots, dude, just in the general area, bro. We got a place called Gravity Hill.
That's yeah.
About,
oh, I thought you said Gravity Falls. I said, I love that show.
No, it's called Gravity Hill, bro. And you go, and there's like an old train track and like a fucked up bus, bro. I guess there was an accident there. A bunch of kids got killed, bro, in the 70s.
Every place has a Gravity Hill. There was one, Ghostbusters did one in San Antonio. And they put baby powder on the back of the SUV, you know, so that if anything pushed it, they could see the handprints. And
that's exactly what happens, dude. It's a pure incline. And the car was in fucking neutral, dude, moving up the hill by itself, and there's little handprints, dude, in the fucking powder when we put the car in park. I was like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
The county where I'm from, there's a thing called McKenzie College, and it was like a all-women's college back in the day. And the groundskeeper went crazy and killed a bunch of people with an axe there. So it's supposed to be haunted, and everybody would get, you know, get fucked up, go out there, see who was the bravest to go through there, because it's like still a structure. I'm going to take Corey to that.
There's also like a hill-type situation where it said it would pull you up the hills somewhere around here, I think in West Virginia, though. But yeah, there is that is a pretty common attribute to these things.
Yeah, dude, I don't know if it has some sort of like point of gravity or some shit like that, but then it doesn't explain like the handprints, bro, on the fucking car. So, I mean, I don't know. That's the only legit one I've heard of in this general area, dude. We got another one called Shinner's Grave, and I think that's a bunch of horse shit, dude. There's a guy buried on the side of the mountain. It's like old ass wooden fucking headstone, and we went up there, and the only thing scary was there's a fucking homeless dude sleeping up there, and my friend tased him.
What the fuck? Dude, that does sound like some holler boy shit. Yeah, I saw a homeless man, so we tased him. Like, what? Why?
Woke up, bro. All of a sudden, we're sitting there walking up, and this, like, fucking dude stands up over the headstone, dude. Like, we freaked the fuck out.
He was sleeping behind the headstone?
Yeah, dude, he was asleep, like, fucking right next to the grave behind the fucking
hill. Bro, that would have scared the shit out of me. Maybe that was him.
Yeah, dude, oh, like those Lord. Old Western headstones, dude, bro. Like, the wood ones that stand up.
Damn, dude. Maybe that was dude, though. Maybe you tased the ghost.
Yeah, dude. He got stopped, dude, by the long dick of the law.
Was he pissed?
I don't know. I fucking booked it, bro. I ran. Dude, we took my neighbor's, dude. He had this old fucking V-dub bus, like a 70s or late 70s V-dub bus, bro. The square ones, the Vanagons. And we fucking drove it up there, dude. And that thing fucking crawled, dude, up the incline, dude. Like you just literally, you could just hear the motor straining going up that
We need to go to one of those fucking sweat tents where like a shaman like he feeds you a bunch of hallucinogenics and then you just trip out for like 24 hours and just sweat. I'm down for that. That's what we should do.
Why does that remind me of the Dave Chappelle skit, bro, where he said he ran into Native Americans at the Walmart in New Mexico? He said they got him high as fuck in a teepee, bro, at the res, and he got super fucking stoned and said the spirits were coming after him, so they let him stay the night in his own teepee. He said what he felt was kind of fucked up because they had houses with couches and shit, and he was outside.
that's called a sweat lodge, Corey.
Yeah, that's what I need. I just need to get all of these negative evil spirits that people have put on me just wiped clean. My vision needs to be improved. In general, I'm just trying to find a better part, so a better Corey, version Corey's of myself.
On a vision quest? That's what you're
going to Yeah. Vision
quest. I've got a dream catcher hanging above me where I sleep at, and it was blessed by an Indian shaman and rubbed with all these rose oils and stuff, rose oils and other things to help me with my sleep because I have really bad I talk and walk around and do dumb shit in my sleep. I woke up one night in my closet and I have these aluminum hangers that my uniforms come on, and I had like 13 of them. Like, you remember the old bottle cap necklaces people would string together and make? I was stringing these fucking clothes hangers together, and I wake up and I'm like, what the fuck am I doing over here? Like, I guess I had $1 million idea in my goddamn sleep, and I'm over here weaving these fucking clothes hangers together.
Yo, if I woke up in my closet, I would take that as some kind of like spiritual reckoning, and if it was me, I would just start being gay.
So you got to come out of it in the morning.
Yeah, like maybe it. I need to come out of the closet when I wake up.
You, Corey, you mean you're not gay?
No,
this is a judge-free zone. We know that's a cover, though.
Why is every dude? What was it, Helios? Last episode, he asked me, "What on anatomy do I even like of a female?" Like, dude, females are. Like, let me fix my
Corey,
words.
Let's analyze this. You are anatomically a man, correct?
What does anatomically mean?
You got boy body parts?
Yes.
Why are you always talking about sucking dick and shit then? If you're not
What do you mean? When?
Go look at your fucking Twitter feed.
That's recreational.
No, sir. There's no recreational to it.
It's recreationally comical. I've never put a PP in my mouth.
I don't know if I believe you or not, Corey.
Callie.
I don't think he has. I think it's just for the shock value.
Yeah. Callie does some sus boy holler boy shit on Twitter, too. Where's his criticism?
Callie is metrosexual. Yeah. He grew up in California, you know. I mean, he's not gay at all.
I ain't sucking no weenuses or nothing.
Yeah. Like, hey, you know what I messed when I first met Soupy? You know what I told him? I said, oh, hell yeah. You from Kentucky, so you know we all just a little sus. Like, that's what I told him. And at first, he was like, hell no, I ain't sus. Fucking about a week later, he's like, damn, you know what? I do see what you were saying now. There's certain shit that we just say for comedy that motherfucker, no one else would. Like, it would be a little weird. But, like, dude, I'm telling you, the men in Kentucky, like, we'll just walk up to our home and be like, yo, what's up, cutie? You know what I'm saying? Bro. Like, like heterosexually. Imagine,
dude, you probably have polar confused as fuck, bro, before he came to visit you.
What do you mean?
Just because, dude. Like, I mean, until he got to, like, actually
you say gay shit, Corey, and do gay shit.
Nah, he couldn't have been confused. He knew I'd be out here.
You'd be out here.
Wilding. Yeah, see, look, I did have one dude over at my house probably about a month ago, and we were all of us, we were joking around, but then this motherfucker started touching me, like, weirdly. Like, and then after, like, the third time, I was like, homie, you gotta, like, back the fuck up. Like, it ain't like that.
Let me ask you, did you offer to suck his dick?
Well, no. First of all, I'm not even gonna tell y'all about that. My girlfriend might listen to this.
I'm glad she let you start recording again, to be honest.
She don't let me do nothing. I do appreciate her, though. Thank you, babe, for letting me start recording again.
So Corey's going to be full of popcorn, bro. I mean, Twitter's been fucking hot the last couple days, man.
Yeah.
I ain't noticed it.
Corey's had his fucking blinders on.
Bro, when shit starts popping off, I close the doors and go the fuck inside.
Yeah, I had about an hour long phone call with my former friend over there from the leader of VA earlier. He called me. So
Virginia?
Yeah. He called me because I guess things got pretty heated on Twitter today, and some of the things that I said in a Snapchat message to somebody apparently upset him to the point they called him, so he called me.
Bubby K, if you're getting calls from the governor of Virginia.
Yeah. That's exactly who I'm talking about, Corey.
The governor of Virginia.
Is that not?
No.
Bro, speaking of the governor of Virginia, I think I can't wait till they start selling their marijuana. That's a hop, skip, and a jump, Bubby Cat, from Kentucky. I can't wait. They legalize that shit. Kentucky needs to pick up the ball and realize the opportunity that awaits. We are on the same parallel as the motherfucking Hindu Kush Mountains. And marijuana feels right at home in Kentucky, and we need to legalize it. Come on, Mitch McConnell, if you're still in there. I don't know anything about my state right now, sir.
Cali.
Yeah.
Corey is avoiding the Twitter drama like he was avoiding everything when we got that ban tool used on us on Xbox.
I didn't necessarily blame him, bro. Like, we're sitting there. I was in the party with Corey when that fucking happened, bro. He's like, hey, bro, I'm going to put out a couple complimentary tweets, dude, and I'm going to hide.
I made a video. I spoke out. I did my part. I messaged the Xbox person, too, on LinkedIn. I fucking did my part. And, you know, I just look, no offense. I'm not going to. All right, how do I say this? My gamer tag's really cool. And I'm not saying yours not, Callie, but, like, come on.
He didn't want to be Mr. XGN hashtag 1403.
Yeah, I can't have no hashtag, Bubby Cat.
Nah, but to be honest, bro, the 343 guy or whoever you hit up, dude, and the Asian chick, Eden, the engineer, dude, like, I think they clutched it the fuck up for us.
They did.
Definitely. Like, those two, were fucking massively clutch.
Yeah, and then all the Xbox ambassadors that, you know, were in their Discord server were telling me that that's all the fuck they talked about for like 14 days there. You know, like they were getting overwhelmed because, you know, we were telling people, like, look, you should preemptively call Microsoft because they're doing this to everybody. And so they got swamped with so many fucking calls, people calling saying, look, I want to know how to protect my account, that they had to start taking that shit serious. You know,
man,
I mean,
we got a ton of support, man.
Yeah, we did.
Like, fucking a ton, man. 80, I mean, especially for our scene, bro. I mean, like, yeah, some of these bigger content creators shit would scoff, you know, at 100 likes, 150 likes on a fucking tweet. But I mean, for us in our scene, dude, that's big news, dude. Fucking, I mean, that's what.
I mean, I told everybody in TSB to call Microsoft, and I guarantee you, at least 1,000 people in TSB called Microsoft preemptively.
I put my whole clan on hold. I said, everybody, just don't come on. Just stay, tuck, stay low.
Clan canceled.
Clan canceled. I was like, I was like, man, maybe we need to put the Discord server on lock. Maybe they don't see none of us. They'll think we ain't here no more. So, I mean, I shut the fuck up. I was putting out, like, I really believe so much in the gaming community, positive tweets, like, all that shit. People I hate, I was over on their shit liking their tweets. So I was like, y'all, hell yeah, Bubby Cat. But fuck, that shit he was got vegetarian patched
for 2 weeks.
I was vegetarian. His Twitter. Hell yeah, it was like a whole world tour. I was shaking hands with everybody
I have friends that weren't in clans, bro, unfriended me and shit. Hey, bro, I'll friend you back, bro, once all this shit is over. And I'm like,
we'll get through it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why Corey was. Out. He wouldn't even add my Fallen God account. I was playing on it. He wouldn't add it.
Yeah, no, I had the secondary added on, but yeah, the support was fucking huge, bro. I mean, that kind of shit reminded me of like this last few we had with 007, bro. He'd be like, oh, you guys think you're so popular because you got fucking 20, 30 likes on your fucking tweet. And I'm all, dude, for like what we do, that's not bad, man. I mean, compared to the three he works really hard for.
Yo, listen. Do you guys realize that even Fate like just had to remind him that I'm fucking better? That, like, I think about how many people play Destiny 2. Think about all of that. And we end up in a match against, like, me and Orion and my chick and some random, right? Fucking end up in a match on Gambit against 007 and his, like, cronies, dude. And fucking literally, like, I'm like, yeah, dude, if we happen to lose this, you know his ass gonna post this shit all up on Twitter. You know it would. He would probably made a headline on his website. He would have put an article on the front page of his website, pinned at the top, just to show, like, hey, this is how much better we are. Like, and we fucking tweet out, we beat his ass, son. They didn't even get to summon their prime evil. They didn't even get it up at all. And we smeared his ass. He goes on Twitter, he's like, wow, classic XGN, no class, sharing a win. I'm like, homie, this is the most down to,
bro.
And that's so clan. Like, we just defeated dudes that, like, spend their time on Twitter talking shit about people that are at least 20 times more superior than them, right? And that's what he's doing. And it's like, even Destiny, not Destiny as in the game, but like Fate, just wanted to remind him that he is ass and teamed us against them, of all people. Like, not just him against some random XGN people or me against fucking some random XGC people, but specifically Fate wanted to remind. I was like, dude, even sweet baby Jesus wants me to fuck this dude.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, I got in a situation like that way back on the 360, and it was Halo Reach. It was during the height of the MEA and TSV and J2H thing, you know. And it's me, my son, Frownsy, and TSV Drag My Sack Mark, a guy that graduated with my son. And those three are phenomenal Halo players.
Can you say that name one more time?
Oh, TSV Dragon My Sack.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. And so we get matched up. We're playing just random pubs, you know, Halo, and we get matched up against three MEA forefathers and a random MEA kid. And I'm like, oh my God, we're about to clean these motherfuckers' clocks. We were talking shit in the lobby before it started. And I told them, welcome to YouTube, motherfuckers, because Frownsy had a cap card and shit. Got in there, and my son and Dragon get up and go eat during the middle of the fucking match and leave me and Frownsy by myself, and we get the shit kicked out of us. And they put that video on YouTube, and I'm like, I'll be goddamn.
Worst fucking
time ever.
This is a get up eat. You got pissed.
Mark, and I'm like, where the fuck? We were making something to eat. And I'm like, against these MEA kids? You went AFK? What the fuck?
Damn. Yeah, they were trying like hell, too. They weren't. That's why they fucking failed. They failed the wins, because they were so caught up in trying to invade. They didn't even fucking get hardly no motes. Orion just kept going over there and just fucking wiping them out. It was funny as fuck, though. They couldn't even get their prime evil up. I don't even think they were halfway filled with the motes. Like, that's just fucking hilarious to me. It's like, yeah, wild, dude.
There, dude. Yeah, he would run with that, bro. That'd be like the story of the fucking year for him, bro. If he would have beat, there would have been screenshots, there would have been shit talk ats. I mean, that's just traditional clan shits. I mean, for as much shit as he talks about, oh, you guys don't worry about the game and you guys don't worry about the real clan stuff. That is real clan stuff, dude.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to take him serious knowing he's got 400 or 500 members over there telling everybody he's got 100,000+ based off his fucking website registrations. Like, those people, all the people that come from there are dumbfounded by CMS and all the tools that clans have that actually keep track of their members and you have an accurate count. And, you know, when we tell him how many people, they're like, oh, they only got a couple of thousand people. What a joke. We got 100+. Motherfucker, you ain't even got 1,000. And his clans, like Exiled, XGC, SYN, KOG, they call those clans that are under his umbrella, those are actually just divisions of one clan, you know? And to be honest with you, some of them aren't even as big as a squad. Like, it blows my mind that people actually, that's the first thing people say when they get out and experience real clans is like, wow, these are real numbers. Like, there's nothing like this over there.
It kills me, dude, is because, like, I didn't know, dude. If anything, like, I didn't have any negative feelings towards him for the longest time, because it's really just weird, his like immense like hatred that I've like, you know, heard rumblings of, but just like angry that we both named our clans after the same KSI divisions. like wait till he finds out about the fucking 1,500 other clans that existed over the past decade with the word exiled in it.
Shit, they built walls so high around that motherfucker, they are unaware of what's actually going on in the world, man. Like, they have no fucking clue what's
actually happening. We made them use Twitter. Well, you know, but we've said this previously, but they don't even understand that even though they've, you know, completely, like, get shit on and, like, just fucking debunked with everything they say, is the experience of that clan has definitely increased because of us. They weren't even on fucking Twitter. Like, again, Twitter gave me, like, before, if you went to @ExileGaming, it was just their dead-ass Twitter, right? But I was like, yo, give me this, because, like, it's not being fucking used. And clearly, like, I had the correct paperwork, and they literally gave me their Twitter because they let it lay dormant for 7+ years, right? Like, that's embarrassing, to where they have to use an underscore now. Right. And like, now they're on Twitter. Now they want to do this. And even now they're doing such a shitty job. Right. And I think he's fine. He's like, damn, if we use Twitter, then my members actually know what the fuck kind of shitty person I am. And they see him talking shit.
Oh, dude, the way he talks to people, I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Wow. No wonder you don't have any fucking members. You don't know how to talk to people. Like, he's not a good human being, and that's just the opposite of why I always left him alone, because, you know, my friend Ray Drake always told me, man, those are good guys over there, don't ever mess with XGC, you know, I mean, friend to friend. I was like, okay. And then my first interaction with this guy, I'm like, he's a fucking piece of shit. What the fuck?
He fuck did a good job at, like, not replying for the better part of fucking 20 years, for sure. Right? Like, it's because it was probably a good thing he fucking knew not to open his fucking mouth, because he's such a shitty person that it would just be like, dude, look how many, like, key people have, like, he's lost just in that's been with him for pretty much 2 decades in the past, like, I don't know, 10 months, if that, 7.
Yeah. Yeah, listen, that's the joke of a clan. We're wasting our time talking about clans that are nowhere near the level of shit we got going on. You know, it's fun to point out sometimes, but on a serious note, like, I don't take those guys serious. I don't take anything. I rarely even respond. Like, I make fun of him because of his receding hairline, and he likes to talk. Man, he targets Callie for some reason. He fucking does not like Callie, and I think it's because Callie is such a beautiful man. I think that's what it is. He's jelly as fuck.
He is upset at anyone that has XGC girlfriend.
Listen, you can look at that man's picture and tell he ain't standing over 5'5", 5'6".
Bro, I don't know why he's opening his mouth about hairlines to begin with. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, he's rocking that fucking skulllet over there thinking he's cool.
Man, dude, I don't know, man. It's just very unfortunate because, again, like, you see a clan like that, and it's almost like to progressively, like, seek out, like, negativity and just to try and downplay people that's keeping a scene that, you know, you whether you like it or not, you come from, that you've been a part of, that you've reaped benefits of over the years, like, to see the people that are killing it and just try and downplay them and, you know, at the same time uplift yourself with, like, fabricated lies and, like, you know, boosting numbers and just claiming more than you truly are, right, is just kind of disrespectful. And especially, dude, whether you like it or not, you know what I mean? Like, none of us, like, you know, disputed the fact that your reasons for, you know, hitting KSI and forming your own clan not to be justified. We've all met Bill. Like, we've met him. Like, no one's mad at you, dog. But it's more so you can't get mad because their divisions and their creation continued even after you tried to hit it, right? And you can't be mad that others that were a part of KSI and a part of that legacy also hold that dear to them. You can't be mad at that. Like, but at the end of the day, XGC just hit KSI and then completely just wants to, like, at one point he was claiming to have created KSI. Like, dude, just ridiculous, outlandish shit that's just like, dude, like, you had credibility until you opened your mouth, right?
I mean, the fucker's got as much right to say he's a creator as the people saying they created KSI now.
Oh, yeah, which ain't much.
I mean, we just had to talk about that today. I had Lyndon hit me up, bro, and I was just like, dude, like, JT technically gets called the creator because of Bill. I'm on, dude, but Bill didn't really have that authority either, man. I mean, fucking... You would think, like, you know, Meat and Cyrus would, you know, have to collectively agree on it with Bill to be like, yo,
this. If you didn't create it, you're not a creator. You can't. That's not a rank. Yeah, that's not an achievable.
Yeah, managing a website, dude. I mean, you're also talking about Bill, dude, who was handing people board ranks for $50 donations, dude. And fuck it. You know what I mean? So how much does it really mean?
Yeah, they were selling stock in KSI one day, telling people it was going to be a publicly traded company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like
the Tide sponsorship and everything.
In general, mm-hmm. KSI, like, I put something out today that was like a Facebook memory. It's like, yo, a lot of us are cut from the same cloth, and we all could be heroes if we choose to be, right? And it's just there's so many people that just choose not to be. And you could be, you know, shitty. You know what I'm saying? Like we said, we covered previously. There's very few things that you can't that deems you unparticipatable, right? You just can't mm-hmm. participate, right? And we all come, well, not all of us, but a big part of the scene comes from the same cloth that some way, shape, or form, right? And you can choose to do the right shit at any point in time. 007, he could follow me right now, shoot me one DM, and it could be all good. You know what I mean? And but that's just not in his ability, right? Me, I don't have nothing negative to say about dude. We pointed out what we thought was fucked up. And criticism isn't just hate. Criticism isn't just fuck you, fuck your clan. Like, dude, you're a part of history. You're a part of the clan scene's history. I'd much rather preserve you, if not help you succeed, because the way we view this scene that you talk so badly about is, dude, if TSB blows up, has 10,000 people tomorrow, that's fucking great for me, right? And if I blow up and have fucking 10,000-20,000 people tomorrow, that's great for fucking TSB. Because guess what? Whenever we put out content, whenever we put out tweets, whenever we focus in on supporting something, right, it's not just TSB members that supporting it. It's not just XS members supporting it. It's the scene as a collective, and there's so much value in that, not only for the growth of our organization, but for our people, the friendships, the bonds, the, you know, unity. You know, we're realistically, even now, we're kind of forming a new cloth, and all the clans that come from this point on is literally cut from that same cloth, which still is based off the threads of other cloths, right? You know what I mean? Like the KSI type communities, you know, like I don't see, you know, embrace the war communities, right? Embrace that part of history, because look, it was really wild, wild west out here. You know what I mean?
They're ain't right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, not all of the American history is good. Not everything to do in the United States is a glorious story, right? Or has a happy ending. Yeah. But it still needs to be embraced, because if you don't respect the past and you don't recognize the past and recognize the cloth that you're cut from, then how can you ever be better and not repeat those same mistakes of even ourselves and people that paved the way before us, right? And that's all I've been saying. That's all we've been saying. And I just think groups like XGC, like, again, to my knowledge, he hasn't done some outlandish, you know, shit like pedophilia or anything like that. He hasn't, you know, blatantly done this. These are all things that with a little self-reflection, a little self-acceptance, and the will to understand the part that, you know, you should want to play in the scene as a positive aspect of it is there. And it's always up to you to make that decision to make shit right. He knows what he's doing. He know he ain't been living right. He know he ain't been saying the right shit. And that's what I'm saying. And pride will kill shit. You know what I'm saying? You think it didn't take pride on my behalf to do what was right, or pride on Terror Code's behalf to, like, for us to come together and make decisions and to conversate, and pride on your behalf to even make that spark and to start that conversation? It took you putting away a lot of pride. It took me putting away a lot of pride. It took all of everyone involved, because at the end of the day, pride does nothing but hold us back. I'm proud as fuck, but I'm not going to be so proud that it hurts my people.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and that's what we try to explain, dude, because it's like the aspect that pride is all based on the fact of the aspect of control, bro. And his members don't see that yet, but controlling his members and the narratives and the beliefs that he wants them to think is more important than actually letting them explain. And to me, that hurts the scene, bro. That's what I got an argument with KSI.com fucking 2 days ago about, bro. And I mean, and they'll deny it and shit like that, but I'm not stupid, man. You hear a lot of, you know, I mean, and that's a confusing point. People go, oh, well, the past, bro. People bring up the past too much. No, it's not about bringing up the past because we want it back, dude. The past is, you know, it built up everything from now. I mean, and it's something like KSI, bro. Like, they're leaving out vital parts because they don't want their members to know that the two guys called owners betrayed a whole bunch of friends to be called that. You know what I mean? Because it would change the perspective of what's happening, but that's a transparency we need, man. I mean, and those are things I've asked them before, like, you know, why isn't .com, you know, pushing more on the social end? Oh, because they'll bring up this and the good. Let them bring up the bad shit, because it's needed, bro. People need to know about everything, not just selective shit, not shit that just makes your friends look like superheroes and the people that you dislike look irrelevant. You know, all of it needs to be on the fucking table, because that's how the dedication, you know, came to play, dude, in this scene, man. That's how people can work out and be like, hey, bro, these people, you know, all the bad shit that happened in 360, the most impressive thing, dude, is the dedication that we had through all that, bro. All that crazy shit, Wild West shit was happening, dude, and we stuck around and built clans, dude. People are crying and leaving over fucking ranks and Discord servers now. I mean, dude, we were getting shit completely wiped the fuck out and having to rebuild, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Imagine waking up and your Xbox 360 squad tag, you know, can't be logged into and it's wiped fucking clean and you don't remember any of the names on it. Yeah.
So, and I mean, yeah, man, like, you're right. And, like, the transparency is what sets us apart. Is, like, none of us here claim to be perfect. None of us, you know, hide, you know, the mistakes we made. Like, I met a member for the first time today. He's been a member for 6 days, and I told him the whole backstory of fucking everything. I sat there for like a half hour just telling him, like, oh yeah, and, you know, me and TSB Terrico, this guy, he was my arch nemesis. Funny stories, check out our podcast, it's really funny. But it's also funny. And then my girlfriend told her whole story about how she was, like, blacklisted from 150 clans. Not really, but essentially. And then we were like, yeah, it's pretty ironic how Terror Codes with, like, a former ex-Shein girl, and then I'm with a former TSB girl, and then we're also, like, really close fucking friends and do a podcast. And then, like, this is just a lot for this one person that has just been here for 6 days, but he was asking about history. He wanted to know about all of it. I was like, yeah, we used to have a blacklist. It was actually fucking stupid. How it was stupid. And, like, this is all shit that, like, I'm telling people on a daily basis that includes shit that doesn't make me look favorable, right? But it's important that they know their history. And that's why he wanted to know so much stuff. He's like, well, I want to know, you know, what I'm a part of. And I was like, yo, look, I'm not even going to sugarcoat it for you. You know what I mean? Because he told me about what happened in his last clan. I was like, you're going to run into some Karens. But it's also important to understand that you love your Karens as your brothers and sisters. But, and just understand that different people are raised different, right? And I gave him a full-on understanding of, like, hey, I'm not going to, you know, sugarcoat it or set you up and say, hey, we're a perfect clan and everything's going to go good and you're just going to be able to be yourself and no one's ever going to get offended. You know what I mean? Like, I went over everything. And I feel like a lot of clans just, they want to paint this picture of, like, yo, they're perfect. They're never in the wrong. Nothing could ever, you know. And it's because they feel so threatened from others. There's a point in time, early years, where I would see a clan on the rise. I would preemptively blacklist them. That's how I know how these fucking people think, right? Because that's the way of the past, right? You would feel so threatened by another success that you would preemptively, never had a conversation, never do anything, blacklist a group for no reason, and then act surprised when so many people have a problem with it. Right. And what people don't understand is I don't want no one here that feels forced.
Yeah. I mean, look, we didn't have a blacklist. We've never had a blacklist. But if I saw a clan on the rise, I would preemptively go shit on them and take all the good people. You know what I mean? I had a different way of dealing with it. But what you're saying is right. And then you come to the realization that building each other up as a collective is way more powerful than taking each other apart, you know? And I've always embraced my past. I had a conversation, Callie seen the screenshots today. Someone was messaging me on Snapchat and they were like, well, these people are going to leak all this. And I said, look, I don't give a fuck what you leak. The truth can only make us stronger. If you tell things about me that are actually true, then it can only make things better because I'm going to embrace that and say, I fucking did that. And you shouldn't because that was a fucking mistake. I'm not going to sit here and say, I haven't done it. I can tell you this. I've never swatted anybody. I've never fucked with any underage girls. I've never taken money from anybody and fucked anybody around on any business deals. I've never done anything like that. Have I done other things that people look down their fucking nose at while they ignore other shit like I just talked about? Yeah. There are people that I know right now that have people in their communities that have swatted my home. And they have the audacity to call me a bad person and say that I don't, you know, do the right things. Fuck you, dude. Fuck you and everybody around you. You have a motherfucker in your clan that swatted my fucking home. That is too far. And if you notice, we don't have blacklists and we don't go, but we call out people for the shit that they do. And people are always saying, oh, well, you're toxic. No, we could blacklist those motherfuckers and never discuss them again and blacklist anybody that goes around them. Is that better? Fuck no, it's not. We're not trying to alienate our own members. We're just making them aware of the behavior that caused these people not to be able to come here and participate in what we have going on.
Yeah, and that's what you helped me realize. And I'm going to let you go, Callie, real quick. But essentially, just what you helped me realize is that the blacklist isn't needed if, you know, to silence lies and hate about you and shit, right? You know what can fix that real quick is the truth, right? That's all that can fix it. And, you know, people say that, you know, oh, we're drama or, oh, we're toxic. Dude, we're just replying to what all these idiots say about us. You know what I mean? And we're just kind of like, I don't have time to sit down with, you know, thousands of people one-on-one and tell them the truth the way the people that pray for our downfall, right, have the time to pull our people into parties and tell them. What I can do is I can put out a blanket statement that friends of friends are going to see and that when they're asked about it, they don't have to speculate or draw their own conclusions because I've already given the full truth, right?
Yeah.
And that's different, but that's what's different. That's
the one thing I've always told, I told you and you've really started to embrace is be your fucking self. People will follow a flawed leader that's honest. And I mean, look, I make mistakes. And when I sit down and I talk to my people, I'm like, I made a mistake. I'll tell you a mistake I own. War Daddy, that fucking idiot that's on Twitter talking shit, I promoted him to director one time. I could sit around and deny it, but I promoted that dumb fucker to being a director in TSB, and he fucking killed a division. I own that shit. I made that mistake. You know what? I've been a lot more careful since then. You can sit around and you can try to hide shit, or you can just say, "Hey, man, I made a mistake," and that I will carry an honest asshole as far as I can carry. Don't lie to me and don't lie to my people, because that ruins our credibility, you know?
Yep.
I agree. No, most definitely. I mean, that's the problem with a lot of these clans that, you know, I mean, as Trent was saying, do look down their noses at us. I mean, fuck, we had that AXG clan. We haven't done shit to them. And that's the mentality they've taken on. I mean, yesterday they were posting shit that was elitist, you know, .com. Yeah, I got to specify now. I can't say KSI because .org's, you know, fucking amazing. But, you know, I mean, .com, man, it's the same shit. I mean, you know, you reported something Linden put out the other day, you know, and the Anubis kid game dug that up. And it's like, they got to think that that's where the main problem lies. You know, we could be toxic in their eyes by, you know, trying to be transparent, trying to call people out on social media. And I get it. I make mistakes too. Shit. You know, my hands aren't fucking clean. You know, I have good intentions. I just tweeted that shit out. But I mean, what they don't understand is just things like the blacklist, bro. And, you know, that's something, kid, you know, .com made a huge, well, we got rid of the blacklist first, but did you? Realistically, because, you know, the evolution of what happened and like how things change as far as excess and Hydra and all that stuff went, the list itself, you know, wasn't necessarily the problem. Sure, it was a badge of honor and it told people to stay away from others, but it was the mentality it created, bro. The moment you have to tell your members to be careful around other gamers, bro, you're an asshole. You know what I mean? That's just, and that's the mentality, bro, that we got rid of.
I don't remove a lot of people from TSB, but when I do, I post why I removed them. And you can make your own decision. You won't be around this person that was fucking with an underage person or that was scamming our members for money. That's on you, you know?
Yeah. They're not like us. They don't do this. Be careful with them. You're creating a mentality, bro, that says we're better people, bro, than these people. And they don't know us, dude. They've never talked to us. And most people that do meet us and talk to us are like, man, these guys are fucking cool, bro. I mean, we hit behind one. I was one.
Like you said, that the list ain't really the power, man. It's a lot that goes into it. And like, they haven't done anything to, you know, rectify shit or try and build shit. You want to look like how the change culture is, look at the way we did shit. Like, now anyone in excess that have joined, you know, in the past like 2 years, damn near year and a half, like, there's no way like they would even think at all that there was ever an issue or there was ever beefs or there's ever anything. Like, there's no question amongst anyone in my staff of like my loyalty to y'all, right? And my like where we stand on shit. Like, and that's the kind of mentality and the way they had to go about it. And it started with just, you know, people like me and Callie and a couple others that really started pushing against that. Oh, whatever. You know, we had the people like Huck and other people that really just would not budge on shit. But essentially, like, we were at like, this isn't an option. Like, this is, you know, and went on a full thing of before I never even mentioned like all the shit. Me and you, we talked in private about, you know, shit that, you know, you guys could have done differently and shit that I could have done differently. When I went and talked to my people, I didn't say, oh, well, yeah, we did this. You saw like everything of my mistakes, right? Of where I could have done wrong, because it's not your responsibility, right? To do that, you know, to my people or to say that to my people. But me, I got in the front of them. I was like, you know, we did the blacklist. We rectified this. These are where, you know, I failed to communicate and was really like, you could tell it was authentic. It just hit different, right? When we left that meeting, you didn't tell me to go talk to everyone that could have negative feelings about me and talk to them. But I did. You know that? Yeah. I went to as many people as I knew, right? And I never really sensed that from KSI. I've never, to this day, have never been asked to have a conversation. They don't, you know, it's just different by putting out like, oh, we don't have a blacklist, but it's about how you act, how you respond, how you generally, you know, treat your peers of the scene. And I don't get that from KSIGlobal.com.
You went into a whole fucking Discord server that had, I don't know how many people in it, dedicated to just hating you, and sat down and tried to square things away with every fucking body in that server.
Yeah, I mean, great strides have been making,
you know? Like, people have genuinely put everything on the line to make this shit better. And the people that haven't, I get really aggravated because I'm like, I want them to have a voice, but step up and do something to help. Like, seriously, if you're a clan leader, step up and bring something to the fucking table.
Yeah, I mean, and that's why we're so critical, you know, about certain groups, you know, and people see it and think, oh, well, they're like this about everyone, or they're saying, hey, don't judge people, dude. It's like the very small group, bro, that we are critical of, dude, on Twitter. Yeah, I mean, it's very fucking small. I'd say less than 1% of the whole scene is what we focus on. Those are people, dude, like, even at its worst, dude, this scene was a merciful fucking place. I mean, like, you know, this scene housed people like Battles and Lazar and multiple clans and multiple builds, you know, forever. So, I mean, it's like, it wasn't like these people weren't getting chances. And that's really what it was, man. It was just repetitive shit. And it just, it gets to a point, dude, to where it's like, okay, what do you offer? You got thousands of people, dude, getting on, busting their ass, building squads, bringing people in, hosting workshops, doing game nights, you know, having a general good time, dude. And they care about what they're doing. You don't fucking care about any of it. You don't care what they care about. But you just want, you know, to be carried through all this shit. And it's like, you know, you don't want to do anything. You don't want to do the shit that they're doing.
People not caring is one of the biggest problems. Like, just generally, like, you know, and I wonder, like, if these people, the peers, the, you know, members of these groups really started asking their leaders, like, what steps are you doing to make sure this group that I'm sinking so much of my free time, energy, effort into, such a valuable currency that is, you know, unretrievable again, what are you doing to make sure that this outlives you and I, right? What are you doing to make sure that this is a good investment to, you know, with my time, right? And I see a lot of people posting, well, oh, it's just clans, it's just whatever. I mean, I guess if that's all you see this as, then that sucks, especially as a leader. That's something that the kind of mentality that I would expect from a member, a participant, right? Because the same technology that we're currently developing and working on for virtual communities, I have every intention of getting it in front of people to utilize in real communities, in actual communities. I have every intention of making that. I've made calls. I've talked to people. You know, I've done these things because in back of my mind, I'm like, how can I offer my people more opportunity? Right. I see the good, you know, of people that's worked here and worked in departments and done stuff, what they've utilized us in resumes and been able to personally impact their lives and help them. I'm always thinking, how can I provide more? And how can I provide more even whenever I can't do it no more? And I feel like a lot of leaders just see it as so cut and dry that they're not seeing the impact that this organization truly has on people's lives. Right? These organizations, like as a clan owner, as whatever, like I have emails and I think it's technically because none of them has actually created anything that has lived long enough to have people quit gaming, go live their lives, you know, finish college, get a job, you know, and then be able to contact you back and be like, hey, I started in this department. I started in this squad and this taught me that much. They don't really have the privilege of seeing that impact like we do, right? So I just chalk it up to that. But once you see that and once you get that kind of like, wow, okay, this thing that I have literally like died over, essentially, like slaved on and worked on and fucking lost sleep over, is actually helping people. And you're like, okay, I've spent a lot of restless nights how can I make the next 10 years make sure that this doesn't just go away, right? And I don't feel like XGC or KSIGlobal.com are thinking about any of that shit. And, you know, some of these clans, they do certain policies a certain way because it's tradition, or it's this certain way of doing shit, or for their own satisfaction. But now everything that we're doing is, okay, what's best for my people, right? What's going to give them the best opportunity? And I have every, you know, I want to partner with universities. I want to get involved in government. I want to be able to provide my membership with as many, you know, economic opportunities and job opportunities as possible for now and the future. And I don't think anyone outside of our circle even realizes that that's possible.
Yeah. All right. We're at an hour. And plus we have that other recording that was about 15 minutes.
Yep.
Yeah. So, we're going to include all that.
Yeah. That's a lot for them to think about. Honestly, yeah. But it is the truth, man. I mean,
yeah, fucking facts. Yeah. All I have to say in closing is, like, you clan leaders out there, man, step up and have a voice. Bring something to the table. If you see something that you think we could do better, come talk to us, man. Come have a conversation with us,
and we'll do it. Like, if it's truly better, like, we change shit all the time. We're constantly working, talking. Like, the gears are never ending. To improve, like,
yeah,
that's all it is.
I tell my leaders, I have a, you know, leaders meeting every Sunday night, and I tell them all, we never improve if I'm surrounded by yes men. I need honest opinions.
Yeah, I can vouch for that.
I may make a decision you don't agree with, but I'm going to hear your opinion. And, like, we are not going to progress as a scene if we're surrounded by yes men. You don't
preach
have to agree with everything we do.
Preach it, Pipaw. I'm telling you, this is some goddamn holler. This is some holler spiritual motivation right here from Pipaw Trent. Go ahead, son.
Listen, we're not going to progress as a scene if we don't hear everyone's opinion. Bring something to the table. Show us help. Shit, we're asking you for help. We're trying to make this better for everybody. We need everybody's fucking input. You know, step up and have an opinion. Have a voice.
Hey. We all got a piece of cornbread. We're just trying to make a poem.
Ain't nobody trying to hear your cornbread mafia bullshit.
Cornbread mafia. We out here.
No, all I gotta say pretty much, bro, is that we got, you know what I mean, in the people, the small percentage of people that we're talking about, like, they're aware, you know, that, you know what I mean, no, we're not, you know, we're not elitist in terms of that. You know, we're not trying to be holier than thou, but at the same point in time, you gotta look. We're not out, you know, digging desperate for information to try to drag you down. That's what says that we're ahead of you in this game right now. Is that's the only reason why you would need damning information to try to pull yourself up is, you know, self-redemption. There's better ways to do that. You know what I mean? Build your clan, you know, put some focus in it. You know, there can't always be shortcuts.
Absolutely.
All right, Bubby K, I got to get out here and save a lot, fit in the clothes. You know what I'm saying? They're about to cut my damn EBT card off. I didn't renew, so I got to get out this bitch. I'll see y'all later, son.
Later.
Grab me a six of holler.
All right. Oh,